Thank you so much for tuning in. Just a quick note before we get started. This is a part two of a two-part series of the interview with TWC, Jess and Gavin. Make sure to check out the first part before you get on to this one, and it'll be right before this episode published on your favorite listening platform of choice. That's all. Enjoy.
Got a good question. I might have seen this. So what's something you would tell someone who's kind of searching like to find their thing? So especially nowadays, there's like so many options, which is good, but at the same time it's like bad because there's like the paradox of choice that there are so many options, so how do I choose one?
I think you just have to try things.
Yeah.
I think you just have to start trying. It's really hard as an adult to learn new hobbies because it can be really intimidating. So people kind of allow maybe like their anxiety to lead them away from certain things or prevent them from ever trying something in the first place. I think just trying things out and adding new experiences to your list, which is another reason why I think people really love travel, because they are kind of put in a situation where the only option is to try new things. So they're trying new food, trying a city with a different lifestyle, trying new activities. It's really fun on trips to see people like biking and ziplining and rafting and kayaking for their first time and seeing how exciting that is, or watching an artist work in a way that they've never seen before, taking a cooking class and thinking about that. And it really inspires them to start cooking more. So yeah, I think you have to try things and allow yourself to be inspired, but also allowing yourself to try things and then saying, I don't know if I really love that. I don't know if it really suits what I'm trying to get out of this hobby right now, which is maybe some peace or a way to blow off steam or something. Maybe that hobby is not what you're needing in the moment.
Yeah, I mean, I also think meeting people is a great way to kind of find your thing. Most of my favorite hobbies all came from people pushing me to do stuff. I don't know if I've ever really gone out and been like, I'm gonna go try this like new intense sport by myself. Like, no, I mean, I always get pushed either, you know, largely by like my brother and some of his friends and then some friends that I had in college. And that kind of helped me try a bunch of different stuff. And then in the end, you develop a love for only like, you know, a select few of those. And those are the ones that you focus on. But yeah, you know, saying yes to like meetups, like I love that, you know, you guys do that a lot. You know, saying yes to meetups, saying yes to like, you know, coffee with random people that you met on the internet or whatever it may be, right? Like just getting out there and meeting people will eventually push you into different activities.
Yeah. That's it. Like now, whenever I feel like if there's like, oh, I don't know if I should do that, I'm like, okay, definitely I should do that because my brain is trying to trick itself saying like, we don't do that. And then I'm like, yeah, that's, right. That's the exact feeling I used to like, all right, I have to do this. That's the only way to get over like the discomfort hump that's trying to keep me in the box.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm never super excited about trying a new activity, even though you think it's just all fun, but it's normal to be nervous. I think it's super normal to be nervous. I was so nervous before we tried surfing, before we got scuba certified, before I ever tried any rock climbing routes. And I don't fall in love with everything, but I think it's normal to be nervous. But if you're in the right environment with a kind teacher, then it really can be a positive experience, even if it's not something that you love and do all the time.
Yeah.
I had a really fun time learning to surf in Costa Rica, or trying to learn to surf. But the surfing school that we partner with in Costa Rica for our trips is just really amazing. The teachers, we go back every year, every time we're in Costa Rica and see them, and they really made it a fun experience. I don't love surfing so much that I'm going to like move to a surf town and spend all of my life there, but I love it enough to pursue it when I'm in an area that's known for surfing, or we got scuba certified, but we do have some people that are really passionate about it and some close friends, and so they're really pushing us, like, let's go do a really fun scuba trip, and so I think that'll be fun, especially because they love it so much that their, like, passion will, like, flow over, kind of fill us to be like, oh, this is so exciting. This was my first ski season in Colorado, my first full ski season. I skied some as a kid, but it had been a while. So I set myself up to take a lesson to start. And that's what I'd really recommend. If you're taking my advice, like what I said earlier, to just try things out, set yourself up to do it in an environment that makes you feel comfortable. You don't have to have some of your wild friends lead you down a double black run on your first day on the slopes. For example, you can set yourself up to take a lesson with someone who really knows how to teach and will make you feel comfortable. And that'll really just kind of ease you in, and you can get a taste and see how you like it. So I ended up really enjoying it. Those first few days were hard, but that's just an example of how I think it's difficult to learn new hobbies as an adult, but it's so worth it.
Was there ever like a mindset shift? Because usually it's easy to like, okay, you go to college, you do this, and then, you know, that's like the known path. There's like a certain path you can follow, like, okay, if you do this, get this job, then you can do this, which is like, here are the checkpoints you can easily follow. But it's rare to see people when they take the unknown path, to say. And I feel like that requires a mindset that takes over time to develop. Or sometimes people just have it. So I don't know, was it like, did you guys always have that, or it like took something or some experience that caused that shift?
Maybe that's a good question. I don't know. What do you think?
I don't know. We both didn't move that far away for college. We're from Texas and went to the University of Texas. Traveled a lot through college. But yeah, I think you've kind of always had a spirit like that. I don't think it really felt very wild to you to just like move to Columbia after graduation. I don't think that felt wild to you at all.
Yeah, maybe not. Yeah, I'm not really sure.
I get there, and then when I'm there, it just feels so normal and natural. Also, we do things as a team that definitely makes things easier. Doing things the two of us as a team.
Yeah, definitely.
And I have always thought that there might be some truth in the fact that while we had supportive families, there wasn't really one place in mind that either I or he could think of that I would say like felt like home. Like both of our like childhood homes, or we had a few, and so we each had a few. And so those had either been sold, or our parents were with other partners or moved on. And it just was, at least for me, I never felt like I was like, oh, I'm really homesick for this one specific place. I didn't have that at all. So yeah, I didn't really get homesick at all.
Same. Yeah. I think I lived in maybe like 7 or 8 houses growing up. Yeah. It was the same. I think we were very used to the idea of kind of living out of a suitcase. Even, you know, a lot of divorced kids, like parents, divorced parents, kind of understand that, you know, you have a lot of, say like when you're 16 and you have your car, you kind of just have like stuff in your car that you bring back and forth between the houses, right? And so we were kind of used to like that idea of living out of like a suitcase.
And we're both quite independent and kind of headstrong. And so, yeah, there was never a moment where we were thinking like, oh, we're homesick, or we need to call someone and have them help us figure out what we need to do. We're just kind of always been a little bit more independent like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there wasn't really a huge adjustment. And in fact, when we started traveling the first year, I was a lot more upset when we would book flights to come back to the States and visit. I kind of liked getting into our routine and doing more, and being gone was always exciting. So that felt really good. And now we have been slowly settling a little more. We have one place in the U.S. where all of our stuff is, and that's what we come back to in between travel, which we never had a place like that before. And it's still not the city that our parents live in or anything like that. But yeah, we've been kind of developing a home base. So again, that is kind of what you're saying. It's been another mindset shift from full-time traveling to, we're kind of in this like hybrid space right now where we're still gone half the time or more, but we're coming back to the same place for the first time in a long time. And so since we're coming back to this one same city, we can kind of develop a little bit of community in person here, which is really different. So that's new as well. That has been a mindset shift. So it's hard to get into the habit of knowing that, oh, I can make friends and talk to people here in person because I'll be coming back here to the same place, or I can get a gym membership and go to the same place. I can get a routine and a schedule. I haven't had that in 5 years. And so it definitely has been an adjustment back to that. But jumping into the full-time travel, I felt like we were very much ready. So
yeah, which is, it's interesting, you know, but I feel like from the very beginning, we were mainly driven by like the idea of starting this business, which is interesting. You know, a month in, or even maybe less, maybe 3 weeks in to our travels is when we came up with the idea and incorporated the Travel World Culture. And, you know, it's so interesting. But yeah, I feel like, you know, that drive really did come from like this like want to create these trips through like personal connections. You know, like all of our partnerships, even now are all through like personal connections. You know, it's not done through just like email and online, like we're meeting mm-hmm. these people, getting to know them. And I feel like that was kind of like a passion of both of ours that pushed this, like pushed you through the tough parts of travel, right? Cause there always are tough parts of travel. There's always, you know, 20 hour bus rides when you're cramped up and you're exhausted and you haven't eaten and, you know, you're sweating from the heat. And there's just always situations where you're going to be extremely uncomfortable. But yeah, at the earlier stages, I feel like we had just this energy, right? This mindset of like, no, we're not giving up. We're giving this some time and we're going to fight for it. And that's what we did. And then, you know, everything was going great and then COVID hit. And then there was another mindset change, right? It was like, okay, do we go home? Do we not go home? Obviously in the end, we decided to go home, because that was the responsible choice. And then when we got home, it was like, okay, now what, you know, pivot, do this next thing. And then you're in this other mindset of like, okay, you have to really get creative here. Like what things can you do during COVID? And then after COVID, you know, there's another mindset change. It's just constantly evolving. And that's part of just, you know, being an entrepreneur. That's part of just, being a small business owner, but it's also, I guess, a mindset that maybe we learn growing up. Not really sure. I don't know. That's a good question, though. That makes me think about it, you know?
Yeah, I feel like what you said, like a lot of the shifts kind of forced you to get that mindset. Like even if you didn't think you were doing it, but because you had to, like you're like, I have to do this. So then your brain is like, okay, like we're going to figure it out. And then you guys did. So it's like, okay, now you can kind of look back at it like, oh yeah, okay, we've done that. So we can do the next thing too, even though it might seem harder than like, we can think of right now, but there is like evidence for yourself to be like, no, I've done that in the past, so this is nothing. It might take longer, it might take less time, but it can be done.
Yeah, definitely.
Now for me, I kind of started like doing photography and videography. We bought the camera for my dad, and we were like, this is your birthday present, because he loves taking like pictures and posing and stuff too. And so we're like, okay, we'll buy him the camera, but he was just busy, and so the camera was just sitting there, and I was like, this is like summer after high school. Now that summer, I'm like, what do I do? I'm just like so bored waiting for college to start. So then that's when I like random chance picked up the camera and I was like, okay, I'm just gonna take the whole summer and binge all of YouTube as I can to learn everything about the camera. That's what I did. And eventually people were like, hey, like how much do you charge for pictures? And I was like, you want me to pay me? And I was like, what? That's so, like, I was just shocked by it. But then eventually over time doing different things, and I was like, this is so fun. So I do. That's like how that came to be.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's so cool. And that's such a good example, right? Like so often I feel like people don't really think about, you know, what's going to happen in the future. They kind of just let things happen. And that a lot of times can bring you to like this perfect kind of situation like yours, where, you know, you have something that you love, first of all, right? And you didn't even buy the camera for yourself. You bought it for someone else. But then it was just there. And yeah, you were able to turn that into a business, which is incredible.
Yeah, that's when I learned. I was like, okay, it's not like, it's like you're living life and then you're not really like an NPC, non-playable character, but there's still stuff like, okay, this is what I do next because like society structured this way. But it was when I learned like, okay, I could learn this by myself. I was like, wait, I can do other things by myself too. Why do I have to just like follow what's like said or easily done? And that's when it was kind of like a mindset shift. And a lot of my friends too now, they're having their own in their different ways. But we talked about this like thing like a couple months ago. And I was like, did you guys ever feel this way? And they said, yeah, but they had their own different stories. But the theme like throughout was, it was discovering that if you set your mind to something, you can do it. And really like believing in it, even though it might seem tough. And I was like, that's a cool thing that just goes throughout that. Like, I didn't notice at first.
Yeah, that is really cool.
There's actually a author called Matt Kepnes. I think he lives in Austin. And he actually did like digital nomad stuff for 10 years. And now he also is like, okay, he has like he's building like a base and in Austin for him. But it's funny that you guys are like, okay, now we're doing kind of like a hybrid travel thing. But for him, it was like 10 years. Then he figured it out though. He wants like some place he could actually come back to, but still have that freedom to just travel whenever they want to.
Yeah. You know, after 5 years of nonstop travel, you start to miss that like community that you have with your family and with your close friends. And that was a large drive for us to kind of settle down and slow down our travel a little bit. I say that, I mean, out of the last year, we've probably been gone over 6 months of that. So, you know, it's like, I think our goal is to travel a little bit less as we move forward, but, you know, likely we'll never stop. And hopefully that'll turn into a lot of like passion, kind of oriented trips, you know, where we're doing mm-hmm. like the hiking that we love and stuff like that. And, places that we've come to love over the years.
So is there anything like future for TWC that you guys are excited about? I don't know, like stuff we can share yet, or maybe not. Or like a cliffhanger, you never know.
There are. Yeah, we're not sharing stuff yet. But at the moment, we have ideas for really, really cool group trips coming up. And so, yeah, those are always launched at the end of the summer. So you'll get to see them for next year. But some really cool ones that people have been waiting for, like Patagonia and Turkey and Morocco and some of these really kind of unique travel like destinations that we've been to plenty of times and loved. And we just haven't done a group trip there yet. And then on a back end, we've been working on something, but we aren't sure.
I actually already spoke to Sid about it, though.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I think I did. At the meetup, we were talking about how in the future we will be looking at potentially inviting some other mm-hmm. creators to join us on trips. And I think you had even mentioned some people that you thought would be
yeah, I remember that.
Mm-hmm. Something like that. Yeah. So Sid got the inside scoop a little bit, I think. Yeah.
Like that's why I gotta go to the meetups for the scoop.
Yeah, exactly. That's awesome.
Yeah, I have a hard time not sharing things when people ask, especially in person. I'll always talk about like what we're planning or what's going on.
It was just exciting, right? You want to share like stuff, like, oh, this
I'm
is
very excited.
Yeah, and we are very excited very about excited. It. And that's been a lot of our energy has gone towards this. And it's exciting to kind of see stuff that you've worked on for so long come to fruition. But you know, especially I bet you know that with photography, right? Like can travel out to the middle of nowhere and try and take these awesome photos, but until you see it edited and on your frame, right? Yeah, so different.
And now people ask me to teach them, and I was like, you think I'm that good enough? I was like, wow, okay, like maybe there is something. And then now I realize like what's obvious to me at times now, because I've learned it like so easily now, that for them it's so different. So that's like that was like my mindset shift, that there are stuff that's very obvious to me to do, but a lot of people for them would be so new that they will find it helpful.
Yeah,
but I absolutely love seeing like everyone try and turn their passion into a business, because that's what, you know, creates so many of the best, I guess like skills out there today, you know, like, I don't know. I feel like the more people you're around that, you know, you keep having people tell you that you should be charging for X, Y, and Z. And the second you charge that first person, you're a business, right? And then being able to run with that is so exciting. We obviously are excited to see where you head with all of that as well.
Yeah.
Awesome. I know we went way over. So I do this like rapid three questions, which you can give like one sentence answers only. Right? Okay. And that will be the end. So, okay. The first question is, what is the worst advice you've ever gotten? You can go like each, or you can go like the same one together.
One time we were volunteering. I'm trying to figure out how to fit this into a sentence. You're volunteering for room and board at the beginning of our travels at this house that these people own. They were big business people. They had done business for 30 years. They wanted to talk about our business with us, which TWC was new at the time. And he told me that social media was the terrible way to reach potential customers. And he said that I should grow an email list exclusively instead.
Yeah, that'll forever be the all-time like worst advice that we've gotten.
Yeah. And luckily, we didn't listen to that at all.
Yeah, so. We did not. We have an email list, though.
Yeah.
Email list is still useful, but yeah, definitely social media is definitely useful.
Yeah.
Okay, so what is the best advice now you've ever gotten?
Ooh. You get a lot of good people, good things.
I do.
Some of my favorites, well, you give the answer, but some of the little nuggets that you've said before, you always say things like, you plan ahead for the life that you want to have. You say stuff like that. You've gotten advice from...
It's like a poster right there.
Yeah, but that's a good one, and it has like led us down to good places. You've also... Some people we've met through our trips who, like, we meet a lot of people on our trips who are business owners as well. One that I heard was, you 20% of what you have in business ends up making 80% of the money, or what can you say?
Oh, I know this one.
Your business.
Yeah. It's the Pareto principle.
Oh, is that what it's called? Yeah.
Nice. It's 20% of your action drive 80% of the results, and it can be applied to different areas.
Yeah. Man, the best advice is hard though, because you get so many little, you know, snips of like information that sometimes you kind of just, you know, take for granted. And other times you're like, wow, like, you know, just like telling yourself like a mantra, right, can change your whole direction of where your business is going. Man, one, that's really hard. I don't know if I can come. Yeah.
Right, if like you had so many, this could be a Gavin's episode.
Best advice. What's up?
This could be your own episode, you know, Golden Nuggets with Gavin.
Yeah, right.
Okay, I got two more. Right. What is, if there was one law in the world that you would want to create, what would it be?
There's one what, sorry?
One law that people should follow in the world, mm-hmm. What would that be?
Man, I can get political real fast.
Back of the plane boards first.
Ah.
Oh, yes. Ooh.
Okay.
Or
yanking off that.
And on that same law will be, you have to deplane in the order of exactly what row you're in.
Yes. You can't just jump into the aisle and sprint to the front of the plane.
Yeah.
Let's be civil here. All right. That's a good one.
So many times.
Honestly, okay. If there's one law, right? I mean, on a surface level, not getting deep into like the injustices in the world, right? On a surface level, like a travel law, there needs to be regulations on airlines canceling your freaking flights. Like, that has been killer, and Europe regulates it like crazy, but the US doesn't, and I think that is detrimental to the travel industry here in the US.
Yeah, that's why the credit cards would have like those, we'll cover you if your flight gets canceled. I'm like thankful at times for those.
Yeah, but they don't even cover you for any, or a lot of time. I mean, obviously it depends on the credit card and what insurance that credit card includes and stuff, but most of them don't include, you know, weather cancellations or like force majeure, you know, situations. So, you know, I had a flight canceled on me that was due to, I had two situations. I had one that was due to like bad weather, and I had another one that was due to like a bomb threat that happened in Fort Lauderdale. Yeah. And that was under it's not under one of the covered conditions. Like, multiple times I had my flight canceled, and I like called insurance for the credit card, and they're like, yeah, there's nothing.
Dang.
Which is unfortunate, you know. But yeah, like in situations outside of that, like that's outside of you know, the airline's control, I understand a little bit more. But no, the ones where it's in, like, we've had multiple international flights canceled, like, within 24 hours of our flight.
Dang.
And then you're just in a scramble, you know, yeah. And we get no compensation, or we get, like, very little, right? Like, we argue for months and then get, like, barely anything back. Yeah, so that would be a good law. Sorry, I went way over on the
That's okay. No, the final one is, what is something that the world needs more of?
Compassion.
Yeah.
I definitely agree with that one. People just need to be kinder, even though, like...
Yeah, but kinder to the people that aren't in your circle, you know? Kinder to the whole world, to the marginalized, like, populations, for sure.
Awesome, yeah. That wraps it up. People get to hear your stories, so I'm excited about that, and yeah.
Yeah, thanks for having us on. It was super fun.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Sid. I appreciate it.
As always, stay tuned for more, and if you'd like to support, word of mouth is the best way. And if you're feeling extra generous, you can leave us a review on your favorite podcasting platform of choice. See you in the next one.